You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za.
Hey, mama, look at me. You got me feeling free.
That right there is a Wheatfield and a track called Sexy Eyes. That brings the time to 12 minutes past four. And no, that song wasn't played for you, Jeffrey Ernest Kahn. Oh. Not even close. Not even close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine then.
Okay.
I'll just go sock now.
Are you going to sock?
Well, I thought as I came in, the song was playing. I thought, yeah, he's obviously playing it for me. And now you just burst my bubble. Well, that's okay. That's all right. It's fine.
Bubble has been
burst.
We
move on.
We move on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Heavy topic this afternoon. Well, it can be because it's all about trust and respect versus jealousy and narcissism.
Yeah, hurtful stuff. Hurtful stuff. Yeah, and I thought of doing it today because I think there are a lot of people out there that are struggling with this stuff, and I want to try and debunk it a bit and just give people some hope along the way and how to handle these things mostly, because you know we talk about it, but who tells you how to treat people like this? And we're looking at relationships. And we look at couples that are very successful in their relationships and they're happy. And you think, oh, how come have they got, what secret is it that they've got? You know, so I want to uncouple that a bit today, and have a look at it. And it's naturally to be curious about it. And everybody wants to know the secret of a happy relationship. So, we're going to talk about that. And then I'm going to talk about, jealousy and what creates jealousy and how to handle it. And then, of course, we're going to touch on narcissism. Narcissism alone is such a big subject on its own. I can't go too deeply into it on the program, but I can give people an idea of how to handle somebody that is possibly a narcissist, and they are suffering from narcissism in a relationship, whether it's professional or at home. Mm. You know, it works in both scenarios. Mm. So that's hopefully people walk away and saying, okay, well, now I know how to sort of manage the situation. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to talk about today.
All right.
So any partnership, whether it's business or it's relationship or whatever, it needs patience and time and obviously effort. We know this. Mm. Okay. And there are four C's of relationship. There's a communication we spoke about before as being the catalyst to this whole thing. Cooperation between the couple or the person at work, let's say. Consideration of the other person as well. And then compatibility. So those are the four things that you actually need. So communication is crucial because it's you know, when people use derogatory language to each other and that kind of communication breaks down, you can't get to talk about anything. So pay close attention to our nonverbal cues and check your voice tone matches. Your facial expression is very important as well. It might be helpful to express your expectation, needs, and wants to others if you feel like you aren't getting what you want out of a relationship. Now, depending on your social style, again, if you're like an amiable, you'll close up and you won't say how you feel until it's really broken, and then it comes out in the incorrect way. Mm. And so it's vital that you're able to talk about how you're feeling to your partner or to the people that you work with. Okay. So even having known somebody for years and months, you still need to explain your thoughts because you think people can read your mind. They can't. They don't know. Especially males. We can't read the woman's mind. We got to know. And so it's important for them to tell us so that we get it, because we're not that bright as males sometimes when it comes to this kind of thing. You need cooperation and teamwork. I've always said that in a family, you need to work as a team. If one's sick, the one climbs in. If the other one's doing well, you know, you say, well done. If the kids need to go somewhere, you get in the car and you take them. And if they need to do something for you at home, they get stuck in and they do the lawn or whatever. We all work as a team together. And when you work as a team, things start happening and things get really good. So you've got like Apple computers, for instance, had Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak together. Okay. Musicals were created by Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber. Another good team. Google wouldn't exist if Larry Page and Sergey Brin hadn't created it. So, you know, working together is always a brilliant way. And if you can work together, cooperation in a relationship is exactly the same as in business. It's power. Mm. It's power because one has got skills that other one might not have. Consideration, we need to consider each other in our relationships as well, and you need to care about your partner. You need to check in with that person. How are you doing? Is everything okay? Whatever. Compatibility. Consider what you truly desire in a companion. Is that companion giving you that? What do you desire at work from a partner? Is that person really being a partner to you? And what character traits do you find appealing in somebody? Invaluable. What gets you fired up? I don't mean cross fired up. I mean, excited fired up. What, if somebody does something or somebody comes in and just got a birthday cake and they start singing in the passages at the office, does it get you fired up and excited, or does it irritate you as well? And you can continue to be interested in them if you keep in mind these factors, because you need to tell them, what you did there was amazing. I love that. I love what you did there. You bought the tickets for the rugby. Please do that again, because that was great, surprise birthday party. Oh, my word. I didn't realize, I've never had a surprise birthday party, and you pulled it off, and I'll appreciate it for the rest of my life. That kind of stuff. And mutual trust and respect is important in any relationship. So respect is a huge word, And a lot of us in relationships, we lose a little bit of respect maybe, and then we lose the communication, the compatibility, the relationship falls over, and we have a problem. And trust, of course, is everything. If you ever speak to anybody who has broken a relationship or broken off a relationship, invariably the trust is broken down and the respect is broken down. So the trust is important. So how do we build trust in our relationships? Okay, first of all, we need to be open. We need to acknowledge the fact that we have feelings, and we need to practice being vulnerable. A lot of us don't do that. We think we men, I suppose, in the male thing, we handle anything, the house breaks down, we'll build another one tonight. We need to remember that we can be vulnerable with the right person. Okay, and that is vital that you feel you can. So if you're feeling insecure, let people know about it. Invite them into knowing you and how they make you feel and how you want them to make you feel. I think that is vital. Some of you don't talk about this stuff. Be open about your hopes, your fears, and your dreams. And that's being vulnerable, okay, especially about your fears. Number two is assume your partner always has good intentions. This is how you start building trust, because you're not nailing them all the time. So if they let you down, just, don't climb on that and say, oh, well, I knew it. It might just be not intentional. It might just be a simple mistake, and we do make mistakes as human beings as well. So don't immediately assume they're out to get you, because that will cause a breakdown as well. Be honest and communicate about key issues in your relationship. If something is bothering you, say it. Have a small startup. In other words, speak from the eye. I feel that da-da-da-da. I've noticed that. I wonder if you haven't noticed that I have done this. Those are little opening starters that you can just, you don't have to be attacking your partner, but you can start giving them a light on how you're feeling about the situation. And don't keep it in, because that becomes a huge problem later, because it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. Acknowledge how your past hurt may trigger mistrust in the present. And that is very true when coming from another relationship that you lost trust to that person, or that person did something that was, maybe infidelity or whatever it was, and you've lost the trust in that person, or they did something really wrong to you, and then you bring it into the next relationship thinking, oh, well, all men are the same, or all women are the same. And be aware of your unresolved issues, because it can tend to break up the next relationship quite quickly. So just realize, is it the person, actually, are you mistrusting them, or is it something you've brought in from a past relationship? And it could be both, by the way, so you've got to be careful. You've got to listen to your partner's side of the story, look out of their window, get into their shoes. You've got to trust your intuition, but be careful. So you might think something's happening because your mind says, oh, well, something's happening. So then your stomach says, okay, something's happening. So just, if it's only your stomach telling you, your gut feeling, But be careful that you don't push in something that you think is happening that's not real. So speak it and ask the questions, and don't harbor it, because it can get nasty, become a thorn in the side of your relationship as well. Practice repair after an argument. Okay, take a short break. If you're feeling overwhelmed a bit about the fighting or flooded, set a time to process what's happened. I'm one of those people who like processing that afterwards, and then I don't talk about stuff straight away. I like to calm down a bit and just think about it later, and then come back, because then you come back with an easier temper. Knowing that it's not needy to say what you need. So don't feel, oh, you're being needy, or get told you're being needy by saying what you need. Don't worry about it. We get so angry and frustrated with our partners when they don't meet our needs. We need to tell them. We need to make it very clear about them. Okay, so how do we rebuild after trust has been broken? Now, Richard, this is very difficult. Okay, depending on what's happened, if somebody catches out somebody on a lie, it can lead to a trigger of a whole lot of smaller things that happen that can lead to a breakup of a relationship. So how do we rebuild it once the trust has been broken? And it's very, very, very difficult to do that. And what we want to move forward, you want to move together. We don't want to move backwards. And if it's been broken, there are a couple of steps you can take to fix it, to try and fix it. Okay, so first of all, set up a time. And name the feelings you've experienced due to the breach of trust. So set up a time to talk, to communicate properly in a good environment, and not a nasty environment, but a good environment. You need to listen to your partner without judgment. And each of you need to describe your perspectives on things. So it's a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. And that's where we go down to narcissists. Problem, you'll see just now, it never is a two-way street. It's a problem there, okay? So both of you assess how you contributed to the incident and hold yourselves accountable. It is vital that you both say, well, I was wrong, and, yeah, well, I was wrong maybe in the way I reacted to you or whatever it is. So, you know, apologize from a place of genuineness from the heart, and accept the apologies of the person that you're having the argument with. You need to also develop a plan to prevent further breaches of trust from occurring. So if something triggers somebody, don't do that. You know, if you quietly on your phone and you're keeping the phone away from someone, it might be absolutely innocent, completely innocent. But the other person in a previous relationship had somebody that was hiding something on their phone. And they see a pattern, and they see it, oh, but that's the same as what happened before. He's hiding something. Okay, you need to find that out from your partner. What is it that breaches that trust? What is it that I don't like? Okay, then jealousy comes out. We need to look at jealousy, and it refers to the thoughts or feelings of insecurity and fear and concern over a relative lack of, you know, possessions or safety. So somebody can be jealous of things, and somebody can be jealous of people. And it can consist of one or more emotions, such as anger, resentment, inadequacy, helplessness, or disgust. I mean, that's jealousy. So you're feeling paranoid about what a partner's doing or feeling. You're demanding an account where you've been. Where have you been all day? Where were you all day? Unusual insecurity and fear, displaying that. It's normal to be insecure sometimes with your partner and a bit fearful. But, you know, if it's really hectic and every day it's a problem. Engaging in storytelling and making accusations that are not true. Questioning your partner's behaviors, you know, following or stalking them to confirm their whereabouts. I mean, now it starts getting to become an illness, okay? Because, you know, I think jealousy is an illness anyway. Infringing on a partner's freedom or prohibiting them from seeing their friends or family. Now it's going down a nasty road, okay? Reading emails or texts or listening to voicemails, expecting to discover infidelity or a lie. Now, that does come from previous relationships and experience, I know. But if somebody triggers that in you, you have to sort that out. Texting a partner nonstop when the couple is apart. You're on them all the time. You phone them all the time. You're checking on them all the time. It's a nightmare. And when faced with this kind of thing, people may respond with fear, anger, grief or worry or sadness or doubt. even pain and self-pity, and feel humiliated by somebody saying you're doing something wrong when they actually aren't doing anything wrong. Mm. So it can happen for many reasons as well. You know, you being secure or having a poor self-image. You might feel abandonment issues if you're jealous of somebody or something. You know, having a misguided sense of ownership over a partner. You think you don't own anybody, but you might think you own them. Maintaining unrealistic expectation of that partner as well. You know, reliving hurtful experiences that happened and abandonment issues in the past. So somebody might have left you at home and gone out and done their own thing, and you've been sitting at home in this marriage for many, many years, and it's hurtful. And you might feel that things of jealousy come up in the next relationship as well as possible. Worrying about losing someone or losing something important. Okay, so things that cause insecurity in relationships are things that you need to sit down with and you need to talk about. You know, a perceived or real threat such as infidelity can also cause jealousy, and that's understandable, and insecurities, but and also loss of intimacy. Can also start losing, people can start getting jealous and thinking that things are going on because the intimacy has gone, and maybe something else, you found intimacy somewhere else in a partnership. So finally, I want to look at a little bit about narcissism, and I want to say that this is a very, very, very difficult type of person, and it is a disorder. It is a mental disorder. It is diagnosed by psychologists. It is a mental disorder. You know, people say, oh, you're a narcissist. But it is a serious thing. So what is a narcissist? Somebody that's got a sense of self-importance. They're preoccupied with power and beauty and success. They feel entitled. They can only be around people who are important or special. They can't be around minnows, as it were, they feel. Interpersonally exploitative for their own gain, so they'll exploit people. They're arrogant. They got no sympathy, no empathy. They must be admired as people, and they're envious of others or believe others are envious of them. Now, if you've ever been in a relationship with a narcissist, you'll know about it. You'll absolutely know about it, because they'll make you feel like rubbish. And you'll get slowly get wiped out. You'll slowly getting weak and feeling unempowered. They will try and control you with everything, all parts of your life and that. So what I wanted to do today was something that you don't often see. You don't often see how to control and disarm a narcissist. So if you're dealing with one, if you're in a relationship, you can walk away from that. But how do you deal with it if you don't want to walk away? You've got kids, you've got this, but you're dealing with somebody that's got these narcissistic traits. Or you're in a job where you've got a narcissistic boss. And that's a problem, because now you need your job, and you can't just walk away from a job because the guy's a controlling idiot. So, okay, so here are a couple of questions you can say. And once again, I need to say here, it might sound all very well and true, and these are what psychologists tell us to say to narcissists, but they don't listen. Mm. They don't care. They are never wrong. And they have anger issues, most of them, as well. And a lot of CEOs are narcissists. I mean, a lot of CEOs of big companies are. They are, you know, they're good in business. They're good. But in a relationship, they can be a nightmare. Okay, and people that have been with narcissists know what I'm talking about. Okay, so the first thing you can say to a narcissist is, I need you to listen to me, okay? just stop now. I need you to listen to me, because they don't listen. Mm. Number two, you can say, please stop interrupting me. What we're trying to do here with a narcissist, we're trying to set boundaries. You're not going to come right to these people, but you can protect yourself. So these questions are kind of trying to protect yourself. I'm not comfortable with how you're speaking to me. Okay. I need you not to shout. Stop shouting. It's not on. I'm not going to stand here or sit here and worry about and just calm down. Get them to calm. And the way you diffuse a narcissist is not by making him more angry, but by calming him down. So please don't shout. You know, it's not lekker. We can't talk like this. Just calm down, because if you escalate a narcissist, it gets to a phase where you might as well just walk away because nothing's going to happen. I'm on your side is another thing you can say, okay? Because it catches them off guard a little bit. A little bit of kindness will catch them off guard, hopefully. I need you to stop. And then you stop. I need you to stop. Please, you know, this is getting heated now. And if you don't stop, I'm going to walk away. Mm. I'm going to get out of your face because we can't talk. We can talk again when you can speak kindly to me or start being like a human being. Okay. You can say no. And the way you say no depends on how they're going to react, but they won't really listen to you anyway. You can say, I hear what you're saying. And then they start, because a narcissist will be brilliant with you when things are going their way. When it's not going their way, that's when they get angry and they start getting arrogant. So I hear what you're saying, or you can say to them as well, even though you don't want to say that, this is what disarms them. What is it you want me to know? Just explain to me exactly what you want me to know. Okay. What is it you want to hear from me? You're absolutely right. Now that disarms a narcissist for a while because he thinks he's won. And you might not believe he's right, but if you say that, you'll see that narcissist will calm down slightly, okay, depending on where they are in their in their level of what they're trying to tell you. What is really bothering you is another question. I don't actually deserve to be spoken this way. You know, you don't really have to. I'm not able to discuss this right now because I don't think it's the right time. I've explained my point of view, and I'm no longer willing to continue this conversation. Setting boundaries again. As well. If you feel you've said your piece and you've gotten a thing out of it, just get out of here. I will be removing myself from this conversation if this discussion starts to lack civility. So if you start shouting at me and you start raising your voice and you start becoming belligerent, okay, I am going to remove myself from here. Okay. This is what I'm discussing, and I will not be discussing anything else. So don't go down another road. We just are talking about this thing now, if you don't mind. Okay. Cool, calm, collected, straightforward. That's what you need to be. I have 5 minutes to discuss this, and after that, I'll be ending the conversation. More boundaries. Okay. I know how you feel. That might do it. Because remember, narcissists will try and gaslight you. We've spoken about gaslighting before. Make you feel that you're the one with a problem, not him. Yeah. Okay, you're the idiot. Okay. And then people misunderstanding my boundaries is not my responsibility. That's where I draw the line. But the problem is with a narcissist, if you've been long enough with them, you don't feel empowered to say that. You don't feel empowered to make those boundaries. You just want to keep the peace and whatever, you know, I'm out of here. But it's actually wrong because you get weaker and weaker in that relationship as well. And you can say, I'm okay with people misunderstanding me. It's okay. You can misunderstand me all you like. I'm convinced of my truth, and that's about the situation. I'm aware we don't share the same opinion. And then, you know, there's various other things you can say. And most people who are listening to me now who have been through it, I say, oh, yeah, but that doesn't work. Okay, it doesn't work. Okay, so one of the biggest things that narcissists do not like, in fact, they hate it with a passion. It's like kryptonite to them. This kryptonite to Superman, not that they're Superman at all, but kryptonite to them is you absolutely ignore them. They hate that with a passion because now there's nobody in their space that they can control. You just ignore. And that is the worst thing you can do to a narcissist, especially somebody at work. I deal with some people that are narcissistic at work. I ignore them. I don't engage them in any way. So they can't get things. So just say nothing at all. And psychologists will say, from a safety perspective, consider the level of abuse that a narcissist is capable of inflicting. So if you are with somebody that can be violent, you need to be extremely careful because of what you say. And sometimes just pulling out of the conversation, saying nothing is absolutely the safest way to go because these guys or ladies get very can escalate the situation. And that's really what I want you to speak about today. Rich, we can actually have a general conversation about it just for a few minutes. But that's Julie. I really hope it helps people out there because some people are really suffering with this kind of stuff.
Well, I've listened to all that you've said here, and we talk about trust and respect versus jealousy and narcissism, and one is a good thing and another one is a bad thing if you draw a line like that. But that assumes that you're working with people that are of opposite viewpoints. What happens when you get two narcissists in a relationship?
Fun times.
Okay, because that's going to be a battle of wills second to none. And the thing about that is this, that if you've got, whether it's family or organizational, if you've got two narcissists at the helm, when I say organizational, I'm talking about in business, it's going to affect people down the line in the same way that it'll affect the kids or the extended family, if you've got, you know, a couple that are both narcissistic.
Yeah, sure.
Does that happen, is my question.
Not and for long. It does happen, Rich. It does happen. Of course, somebody brings on a new CEO, and then there's an MD, and or the financial director doesn't get on with the CEO. They're two power-hungry people, and the one has to back down. The narcissists don't like backing down. They don't see, you know, the balance in life. But, yeah, sure.
So then none of this works.
No, it
doesn't. None of this works.
No, that's what I said up front. Yeah. It might sound great clinically, but in practice, to win against and to change a narcissist, to change that habit, to change that behavior, which is a mental deficiency of behavior, to change that is almost impossible because they don't see that they're wrong. And it takes years of therapy for these guys to maybe change a little bit or to try and come down a little bit. And it can happen, but it takes years of therapy. It takes a want to do it, and they generally don't see themselves as a problem at all. Somebody's got to point it out to them, and then they get a big fright.
Yeah, because I can hardly see one narcissist saying to another something like, I know how you feel.
This won't happen.
Because basically their view on things, I don't care how you feel.
Exactly.
We're moving on, yeah.
Exactly. And so it's you're overriding somebody. And can you imagine in a relationship, one person overriding and not caring about the other, just doing their own thing, going out, don't care about the other person whatsoever. And just be careful if you're in this situation and nobody deserves to be abused. Nobody deserves to be controlled by another person. There's no way in a relationship. It's a two-way street, and that's why good relationships work, because they work together. And there's good, some people good in some areas and others, but it's kind of a balance.
I think it boils down to accepting where you are, your strengths are and your weaknesses are, and the good relationships are when the one complement the other.
That's exactly right.
Jealousy. I want to talk about that for a minute. And I say this, anybody who knows me knows that jealousy is not a thing that factors in for me. I'm not saying I'm not a jealous person, but it's not.
Are you more protective than jealous?
Oh, I'm very protective. Very, very protective.
Different word.
Very, very protective. And only under certain circumstances, because, you know, there's things that are worth protecting, there are things that are not yours to protect. So off you go.
Yeah.
So I'm not a jealous person, but I have observed a lot of jealous people's behavior. And I want to just test this observation, because generally people who are super jealous, particularly in a relationship that is a husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, fiance, whatever the case may be, not necessarily in a work environment, but in a personal environment, those are the people who are playing around.
What do the Afrikaners say? You staan achter die deur.
Yes.
You know, you're the one who's missing, so you're the jealous one. Yes, it absolutely can be.
Not in all cases.
No, not at all.
Not in all cases.
Not at all.
Okay, so that's just an observation. I've often seen people that are, you know, I know that the guy is playing the field, his wife's at home with the kids, but he is super jealous about anybody who pays any attention to his wife. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's because you're paying attention to everybody else.
And he knows what he's doing.
He knows how it works, basically.
Exactly.
He's got the inside track there. Yeah. But that's not in every case. It's a possibility, but not the general thing.
No, I was talking to a colleague of mine, and they have a wonderful relationship, been a brilliant marriage. Unfortunately, she's not well. She's in a wheelchair and all that kind of stuff. But he said to me, he's thick and jealous. He gets jealous. I mean, you know, somebody goes up to his wife or whatever and gives her a hug and a kiss, And it happened in a restaurant. He said they were sitting in a restaurant, and a guy came up to his wife and threw his arms around the wife and kissed her and said, "Hello, Jerry, how are you doing?" And he got all jealous about it, and he wanted to go and dick the guy. And she said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, you can't just do it." He said, "I work with a guy." And that's his husband sitting with him at the table. Yeah. So said he can't help it. You know, he can't help it. So
All right. Look, great. I think that, one of the things about this is that if there's an awareness of it, which is what we're trying to do here, then you can begin to understand it. Correct. We're not saying that we can give you all the understanding in the world, but if there is an awareness of what could be, it's something that one could a starting point for further self improvement or investigation. Yeah. So there we go. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, good. Thank you, guys.
Okay, go home now.
I'm going away now.
Yes, and drive carefully.
Yes, I will try.
And you'll be back again on Monday.
I'll see you Monday at 12 o'clock.
All right.
Thank you.
Go now. What is your problem?
I'm narcissistic now.
Yeah, are you being narcissistic?
Sorry, I'm going by.
Okay, I'm not talking to you about this anymore. It's time for you to go, okay? You're out of here.
I'm gone.
Okay, that was the Best of Life Loop. Life Loop. The Best of Life, Love, and Jeffrey Ernest Kahn and his fruit salad and ice cream and everything. We'll do it again in 2 weeks' time. Bye-bye, Jeff. Go now.